Chapter 23, Further Dissensions Among the Arians at Constantinople. The Sathyrians. But dissensions arose among the Arians one also on this account. The contentious questions which were daily agitated among them, led them to start the most absurd propositions. For whereas it has been always believed in the Church that God is the Father of the Son, the Word, it was asked whether God could be called Father before the Son had subsistence. Thus in asserting that the Word of God was not begotten of the Father, but was created out of nothing, and thus failing into error on the chief and main point, they deservedly fell into absurd cavillings about a mere name. Dorotheus therefore being sent for by them from Antioch maintained that God neither was nor could be called Father before the Son existed. But Marinus, whom they had summoned out of Thrace before Dorotheus, piqued at the superior deference which was paid to his rival, undertook to defend the contrary opinion. In consequence of these things there arose a schism among them, and being thus divided respecting this term, each party held separate meetings. Those under Dorotheus retained their original places of assembly, but the followers of Marinus built distinct oratories for themselves, and asserted that the Father had always been Father, even when the Son was not. This section of the Arians was denominated Sathyrians, too, because one of the most zealous defenders of this opinion was Theoctistus, a Syrian by birth, and a cake seller Sathyropola III by trade. Solinus IV, bishop of the Goths, adopted the views of this party, a man of mixed descent. He was a Goth by his father's side, but by his mother's a Phrygian, by which means he taught in the church with great readiness in both these languages. This faction, however, soon quarrelled among themselves, Marinus disagreeing with Agapius, whom he himself had preferred to the bishopric of Ephesus. They disputed, however, not about any point of religion, but in narrow-mindedness about precedence, in which the Goths sided with Agapius. Wherefore many of the ecclesiastics under their jurisdiction, abominating the vainglorious contest between these two, abandoned them both, and became adherents to the Homoousian faith. The Arians having continued thus divided among themselves during the space of 35 years, were reunited in the reign of Theodosius the Younger, under the consulate 5 of Plinfa, the commander-in-chief of the army. He being a member of the sect of Sathyrians, these were prevailed on to desist from contention. They afterwards passed a resolution, giving it all the cogency of law, that the question which had led to their separation should never be mooted again. But this reconciliation extended no farther than Constantinople, for in other cities where any of these two parties were found, they persisted in their former separation. So much respecting the division among the Arians. Chapter 24, The Anamians divide into several factions. But neither did the followers of Eunomius remain without dissensions, for Eunomius I himself had long before this separated from Eudoxius, who ordained him bishop of Cyzicus, taking occasion from that bishop's refusal to restore to communion his master Aetius, who had been ejected. But those who derived their name from him were subsequently divided into several factions. For first Theophronius, a Cappadocian, who had been instructed in the art of disputation by Eunomius, and had acquired a smattering of Aristotle's Categories, and his book of interpretation, composed some treatises which he entitled, On the Exercise of the Mind. Having, however, drawn down upon himself the reprobation of his own sect, he was ejected as an apostate. He afterwards held assemblies apart from them, and left behind him a heresy which bore his own name. Furthermore, at Constantinople a certain Eutychius, from some absurd dispute, withdrew from the Eunomians, and still continues to hold separate meetings. The followers of Theophronius are denominated Eunomia Theophronienses, and those of Eutychius have the appellation of Eunomiotychians. What those nonsensical terms were about which they differed I consider unworthy of being recorded in this history, lest I should go into matters foreign to my purpose. I shall merely observe that they adulterated baptism, for they do not baptize in the name of the Trinity, but into the death of Christ. Too, among the Macedonians also there was for some time a division, when Eutropius, a presbyter, held separate assemblies, and Carterius did not agree with him. There are possibly in other cities sects which have emanated from these, but living at Constantinople, where I was born and educated, I describe more particularly what has taken place in that city, both because I have myself witnessed some of these transactions, and also because the events which have there occurred are of preeminent importance, and are therefore more worth of commemoration. Let it, however, be understood that what I have here related happened at different periods, and not at the same time. But if anyone should be desirous of knowing the names of the various sects, he may easily satisfy himself by reading a book entitled Enchiridion III, composed by Epiphanius, Bishop of Cyprus, but I shall content myself with what I have already stated. The public affairs were again thrown into agitation from a cause I shall now refer to. Chapter 25. The usurper Eugenius compasses the death of Valentinian the Younger. Theodosius obtains a victory over him. There was in the western regions a grammarian named Eugenius, one who, after having for some time taught the Latin language, left his school, and was appointed to service at the palace, being constituted chief secretary to the emperor. Possessing a considerable degree of eloquence, and being on that account treated with greater distinction than others, he was unable to bear his good fortune with moderation. For associating with himself Arbogastes, a native of Galatia Minor, who then had the command of a division of the army, a man harsh in manner and very bloodthirsty, he determined to usurp the sovereignty. These two therefore agreed to murder the emperor Valentinian, having corrupted the eunuchs of the imperial bedchamber. These, on receiving tempting promises of promotion, strangled the emperor in his sleep. Eugenius, immediately assuming the supreme authority in the western parts of the empire, conducted himself in such a manner as might be expected from a usurper. When the emperor Theodosius was made acquainted with these things, he was exceedingly distressed, because his defeat of Maximus had only prepared the way for fresh troubles. He accordingly assembled his military forces, and having proclaimed his son Honorius Augustus, on the 10th of January, in his own third consulate, to which he bore with Abundantius, he again set out in great haste toward the western parts, leaving both his sons invested with imperial authority at Constantinople. As he marched against Eugenius, a very great number of the barbarians beyond the Danube volunteered their services, and followed him in this expedition. After a rapid march, he arrived in the Gauls with a numerous army, where Eugenius awaited him, also at the head of an immense body of troops. Accordingly, an engagement took place near the river Frigidus, which is about 36 miles distant from Aquileia. In that part of the battle where the Romans fought against their own countrymen, the conflict was doubtful, but where the barbarian auxiliaries of the emperor Theodosius were engaged, the forces of Eugenius had greatly the advantage. When the emperor saw the barbarians perishing, he cast himself in great agony upon the ground, and invoked the help of God in this emergency. Nor was his request unheeded, for Bacurius III, his principal officer, inspired with sudden and extraordinary ardor, rushed with his vanguard to the part where the barbarians were hardest pressed, broke through the ranks of the enemy, and put to flight those who a little before were themselves engaged in pursuit. Another marvelous circumstance also occurred. A violent wind suddenly arose, which retorted upon themselves the darts cast by the soldiers of Eugenius, and at the same time drove those hurled by the imperial forces with increased impetus against their adversaries. For so prevalent was the emperor's prayer. The success of the struggle being in this way turned, the usurper threw himself at the emperor's feet, and begged that his life might be spared. But as he lay a prostrate suppliant at the feet of the emperor, he was beheaded by the soldiers, on the 6th of September, in the third consulate of Arcadius, and the second of Honorius. Five Arbogastes, who had been the chief cause of so much mischief, having continued his flight for 2 days after the battle, and seeing no chance of escape, dispatched himself with his own sword. Chapter 26. Illness and death of Theodosius the Elder. The emperor Theodosius was, in consequence of the anxiety and fatigues connected with this war, thrown into bodily illness, and believing the disease which had attacked him would be fatal, he became more concerned about the public affairs than his own life. considering how great calamities often overtook the people after the death of their sovereign. He therefore hastily summoned his son Honorius from Constantinople, being principally desirous of setting in order the state of things in the western parts of the empire. After his son's arrival at Milan, he seemed to recover a little, and gave directions for the celebration of the games of the Hippodrome on account of his victory. Before dinner he was pretty well, and a spectator of the sports, but after he had dined he became suddenly too ill to return to them, and sent his son to preside in his stead. When the night came on he died, it being the 17th of January, during consulate of Olybrius and Probus. This was in the first year of the 294th Olympiad. The emperor Theodosius lived 60 years, to and reigned 16. This book therefore comprehends the transactions of 16 years and 8 months. Dash.